This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Thursday, September 9th. Well, wheat markets getting pummeled here over the last couple days as we had a surprising Stats Canada report that showed quarterly stocks for wheat, which basically was the end of the marketing year for them, for all wheat at 5.7 million tons, which was almost a million tons more than what the trade was looking for, and a couple million more than what USDA had estimated. So that's a good 20% more, 25% more than what the trade expected. So it was a fairly big surprise. The question is, does that really change the fundamentals of the wheat market? And I don't think it does. Is it going to increase Canada's export capacity? I don't think it does, especially with the disastrous spring wheat crop they had this year. But it does put more world stocks, on the charts, and that is part of the pressure in wheat. Some of the pressure also is coming from the Gulf closures. We're still not getting back online, and it's pressuring corn and beans, and of course they're headed into the harvest season. They want to be moving grain, they want to have those transport channels open, and they're just not. So there's some sticking points there. And the other thing yesterday was pretty much something out of left field. FSA released their acreage data 2 days early, apparently by mistake, but nevertheless, the information was out there. And it showed that all wheat plantings at 49.3 million acres was up about 500,000 over the estimate from August. And for corn, at 91.2 million acres was up 900,000 over August. So there's yet another bearish factor into the marketplace. So that was, the traders kind of scratching their head about that, but it's going to force NAS to update their data. Of course, we have a crop report on Friday. I don't know if that data is going to be included in Friday's report. It's typically as of the first of the month. So a lot of information coming into the market, some of it surprise, some of it kind of confirming what the trade had been looking for. But generally speaking, it's definitely a wave of bearish fundamental data for the wheat market. That said, again, the question is, does it change the fundamental structure of the market? And I just don't think it does. This is, we pretty much have a handle on what wheat production is. Okay, if acres were higher, that might bump up your production a little bit, but it doesn't change the lower yields in Russia. It doesn't change the lower yields in Europe. It's not changing the weather issues in Argentina, which have turned slightly dry again. All of these things are the bigger picture, and I do still believe that wheat is in a bull market. World demand is increasing significantly. Egypt is a good example of that. They bought some wheat yesterday. They bought 300,000 tons, which is a pretty good chunk of wheat. And they bought it at 313 average FOB, which is up $9 over where it was a week ago. In 1 week, we've moved $9 a ton, which is almost 20 cents. It's more than 20 cents a bushel. So that alone tells us where the market is going. Now, when we look at the breakdown of who they bought it from, they bought 240,000 from Ukraine at 343 to 346 CIF, which again is up, that alone, the CIF is up 5 from last week, and 60,000 tons from Russia. So Ukraine prices were 343 to 346, Russia prices were 344.80. So they picked up the Russian tender as the prices moved higher and as they increased their volume purchased. So what this tells me is that they started out with Ukraine, which is probably like one cargo at the 343, then they picked up Russia at 344.80, then they picked up more Ukraine. Well, that also tells me that Russia only offered one cargo. Otherwise, they would have picked up more of the business. They would have sold more at 344.80 rather than Egypt buying more at 346. So Russia is able to compete and participate in these sales, but at some pretty low volumes. That tells us that they're still fairly hesitant about offering a lot of volume when they just don't know what the export tax is going to be, and their own prices are moving higher. So world prices are moving higher despite the Canadian stocks report, despite U.S. plantings appearing to be more than what the last estimate was. And the bottom line is that business is picking up. This is the time of year. The Northern Hemisphere harvest is complete. And now the buyers are stepping up, getting their stocks in place, at least for the fourth quarter, perhaps into the first quarter of next year. And then we'll be watching the Southern Hemisphere's weather for their growing season. So far, things look okay in Australia. They're on track for about a crop size that's average for them. In Argentina, they've seen some dryness early, but they've had some timely rains. So they look okay as well. And I think that, as far as Southern Hemisphere production goes, we're probably on track for an average crop. So still looking for those seasonal patterns to evolve, which is higher into October, get a little bit of a break with the Southern Hemisphere harvest, then you get another run up into early February. That's pretty much what we're looking for there. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.